this year ever in aviation history, and that is indeed good news. Good news of the day brought to you by Giving Grace Floor and Decor, downtown Beloit. Sports ticket coming up in a little while. Find out how area grapplers are faring at the Beloit Wrestling Invitational this Friday and Saturday, as KD Country 94 will have updates from the tournament this Friday afternoon and evening, and also throughout the day on Saturday. Beloit Wrestling Tournament reports on KD Country 94, sponsored by Becker Autos and Trailers and Camper Supercenter in Beloit, Wildlife Properties LLC, AGCO of Beloit, Smith County Family Practice and Smith County Memorial Hospital, Farmway Credit Union locations in Beloit, Mankato, Lincoln, and Osborne, Thompson's OK Tire, see them for all your tire needs, Lane Insurance in Beloit, because stuff happens, S&S Drug and Home Health in Beloit, Cunningham Telephone and Cable, Central Valley Ag, Roberts Family Funeral Service, Agmark LLC, Nutrient Ag Solutions, Guarantee State Bank and Trust Company, Landall Corporation, Beloit Medical Center, and by the Beloit Call. Don't miss updates from the Beloit Wrestling Invitational this Friday and Saturday on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com.
North Central Kansas' country station, KD Country 94, is KDNS Downs, Beloit, Kansas.
CBS News Brief. A slight break from the Arctic air in parts of the U.S. today, but it won't last long. Frigid weather expected to return for the weekend. CBS's Carter Evans dealing with the after effects of an ice storm in Portland, Oregon.
It is a complete sheet of ice. It feels like the car.
So Texas Tech's nine-game win streak is by the boards. Their first loss in Big 12 play. They'll drop to 3-1 on the season in conference play. And that back-to-back losses for Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs, a distant memory now after a dominating win in this top 25 matchup against Texas Tech.
And as we predicted yesterday on the sports ticket, Houston knocks off Texas Tech at home easily, 77-54. And so now through four conference games, there is no one in the Big 12 that is undefeated. Houston 15-2, 2-2 in the Big 12 with a win. Texas Tech first conference loss. They are 3-1, 14-3 overall. Number 15, Oklahoma, knocked off West Virginia, 77-63 in Norman last night. And Texas has all kinds of issues. Central Florida wins at Texas, 77-71. Men's hoops tonight, Wichita State is at number 23, Florida Atlantic. Shockers are 8-8, 0-3 in the American Athletic Conference. And that's a 6 o'clock tip-off on ESPN tonight from Florida. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, will join us. We'll preview the Chiefs and Bills and the playoff games coming up this weekend, since it'll be the last day this week that Dustin and I will be together on the show, as I'll be heading to Colby to cover the Orange or Black Classic, and that's where we begin here today from a local sports perspective. It's been a while since Beloit has played, January 5th to be exact, but most of the teams out in Colby are in a similar boat. There are some teams that have played two games, and that's it so far. There are some that have only played one, like Beloit. And the Beloit girls are 5-3, coming off that great win at Hoisington, who had been undefeated, the buzzer beater by Brecken Boudreaux. And the Beloit girls are 5-3. They'll take on Hayes, who's 5-3, but has played a very difficult schedule. It's played 6A, 5A schools. They are a 5A school, and Beloit was blown away by Hayes in the final day of the tournament a year ago, but Beloit's certainly much improved from last season. Beloit head coach Sean Remus on taking on the Indians of Hayes High in the first round of Orange and Black Classic this afternoon, with pregame at about 2:45 on Z96.3 and live video stream at ncksports.com via Beloit Trojan channel.
They're very talented, and they run about 10 deep. They go 5 in, 5 out quite frequently, and they've got some athletes that are very quick, and they're experienced. And so, yeah, they're going to be definitely a big challenge for us. But, we're playing really well right now, and we got a game plan, and so we're just going to kind of go in loose because, ultimately we're not really probably picked to win this game. But if we can come in there and just keep things close to the end, I think we got a chance.
Following the girls' game, back-to-back in the auxiliary gym there at the Colby Event Center, the number one team in 3A, the 8-0 Beloit boys, who too have not played since January the 5th, are facing 4-5 Ulysses. Ulysses, a dangerous team. They've had three very tough, tight losses, including a loss at Colby just on Friday by 3, had a chance to tie it at the end. They're a streaky team. When they shoot it well, they're tough. When they struggle to shoot, obviously it goes the other way. Ryan Islett, head coach of Beloit, has some concerns going into this first round game against Ulysses this afternoon at around 4:45 on Z96.3 Lake and live video stream.
Their team is 4-5, but the three of their losses have been by three or less, and so they could very easily be 7-2. It's a group of kids that have been playing varsity for a while. they bring a lot of energy. They like to get up and down. They'll shoot a ton of threes, and it's one of those that you deal with kids. You don't know exactly how your team's going to play, and especially having not played for a little while, you know, you are a little concerned how we'll come out. We definitely have a size advantage inside. You know, if we can rebound like we did before Christmas, I like our chances.
Ulysses will press as well, and they don't have a lot of size, but they do have kids that can shoot the ball from the outside. And this will be interesting to see for Beloit girls and boys and every team that's out there that haven't played a lot of games here in 2024. Three games in 3 days. What's it going to be like? I mean, even in the past years where we've seen them have regular schedules and Mother Nature not messing anything up, I've seen the final day of the Colby tournament where it can be a little ragged, low scoring. You can see the fatigue on some of these teams. Teams that don't have much depth are really, really exposed in a three-day tournament that's back-to-back-to-back, and that's what this is out at Colby. So we'll see how it all works out for the Beloit girls and boys beginning play the Orange and Black Classic today. We'll have Beloit's games on Z96.3 Lake today and tomorrow. Saturday, they will shift to Katy Country 94. Mid-Continent League tournament today.
Yeah, there's one game here today for the Smith Center boys. They take on Oakley at 4:30 this afternoon at Phillipsburg. This is part of the consolation part. They're not on the bracket anymore, but they do have two more games. Again, today they play, and then they'll play Saturday as well. And you can find the full Mid-Continent League tournament schedules there at ncksports.com. Use Orange and Black Classic bracket there. All the brackets that of the tournaments that are still being played are posted there at ncksports.com with updated scores on the schedules pages for all the teams that are playing in those tournaments.
Speaking of NPL, we have Athlete of the Week from the NPL.
Yes, Osborne sophomore Annie Kendig has been named the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telepoint and Cable Athlete of the Week. And Kendig had a big day at the Hoisington Cardinal Wrestling Round Robin last Thursday, January 10th, going 5-0 and claiming first place in the 115-pound weight class. Won every match by fall. Young of Lions beat Hernandez of Wichita County, Kraft from Larned, Reich of Bluestem, and then won the championship match in essence, even though it was around Robin. It was the final match there, and I went over Josie Keener of Abilene in 3:31. So again, a 5-0 finish for Annie. That's the second time that she's won a gold medal this year. She also won the Abilene Invitational back on December 14th, and she finished second the Hoxie Invitational December 2nd and fifth place at the Larned Round Robin January 4th. She's now 11-4 on the season. Again, Annie Kendig of Osborne is the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telepoint and Cable Athlete of the Week. If you need, or if you have a nomination for Athlete of the Week, let us know. We will nominate, or you can nominate an athlete from any school sport, and we will name an Athlete of the Week each week. So if you have anybody, just let Wade or I know. Any way you can get a hold of us, and we'll put that nomination in for Athlete of the Week. Also at NCCastSports.com, a cool award for a local official. The National Federation of High School and Kansas State High School Activities Association announced that Rodney Pullen has won the National Federation Officials Association Active Official Award for Section 5. And this award is given in Section 5 to the states of Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So out of all of those states, he was the one lone representative and the one winner of this award, the Active Official Award. So congratulations to Rodney Pullen. From Beloit. Obviously, a lot of people know Rodney around the area. He's been officiating since 1986, registered official in the state of Kansas for 38 years and basketball and 31 in football, 19 in softball and baseball, 13 in volleyball. Serves as a league commissioner for the Northern Plains League and the North Central Activities Association as well. Bill Faflick, the Acacia Executive Director, said of Rodney, quote, he serves as good as a great resource for officials with his leadership and mentorship in a variety of sports that he serves in, unquote. So, again, congratulations to Rodney Pullen from Beloit for winning that award from the NFHS, Acacia, and the NFOA. So Rodney obviously doesn't do it for the recognition, I can promise you that, but he's had an outstanding career as an official and well-deserved recognition for what he does.
Rodney is a John Higgins of high school basketball in Kansas, and some people may take that as a slam or a compliment, but
he really is.
Seems like every other game, there he is. Dear Lord, have they cloned this guy? I mean, Rodney's very skinny and probably could run miles without getting tired. So I think he just runs from location to location. Yeah. I don't think he drives.
He runs from Liberal to Lindsberg,
absolutely,
to Emporia, and then back to Beloit and he just over to Cocker City at a junior high game, and he's just everywhere.
He's just one of those guys that just looks like, you know, he'd never get tired. And he runs up and down the floor all the time doing games.
And he never does look tired when he's doing it. There are some officials that you look out there, they're like, man, they're gassed a little bit right now. But,
yes.
But Rodney's not one of those.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, there's some officials sucking wind after the first trip down the floor, to be quite honest with you. But, yeah, so that is awesome that Rodney's recognized. And Rodney's a great person, does wonderful things. Not only, you know, as official, but many other things as well. So we appreciate Rodney. It's cool that he got that recognition. Weird situation yesterday. The K-State women made it to Fort Worth and then didn't get the play because TCU didn't have enough players. And I don't understand how they couldn't figure this out before K-State actually departed for Manhattan. Now, I'm so glad that I didn't fill in for this game and prep and do all this work and then get there and then wasted my time prepping and traveling to do a game. You know, Brian Smoller probably would have been that case last night. And so they got there and then found out that the TCU didn't have enough healthy players, which is hard to believe when you have 15 scholarships and you could have walk-ons and everything else. And so K-State, by rule, gets a win in Big 12 play per the Big 12 rules. No extraordinary circumstances exist. TCU forfeits the game. K-State's Big 12 record moves to 6-0, but their overall record stays the same at 17-1. It doesn't count as a win on their overall record. The Horned Frogs will pick up two losses this week without playing. They'll be 1-6 in conference, and that's unfortunate because they started year 14-0 and were ranked in the top 25, but they also canceled the game against number 24 Iowa State on Wednesday, and oddly enough, both Iowa State and K-State undefeated, so I guess neither one gets a big advantage here in regards to against the other, but those two obviously get automatic win.
Yeah.
Compared to other schools that might have to play TCU later. TCU is hosting open tryouts this week in search of walk-ons for the remainder of the season. They're having open tryouts. They've had players that have dropped like flies when it comes to injuries. Some people are speculating, and I think unfairly so, guessing on social media, as I saw one particular media person from Kansas State do, which I don't think is really the best thing to do, but whatever. You know, speculating there was a brawl, there was a fight. And I'm like, come on. This is where rumors start, and there's no need. How about you just call them? You know, I mean, you're from the Big 12. You represent K-State. You could just make up a phone call, send an email to the SID or whatever else, and maybe they won't tell you anything. But, you know, if they don't tell you anything, does that mean there was something that was outrageous that happened? No.
No.
I mean, it could be. Anything's possible, you know. Something could fall out of a plane and land and hit you on the head and kill you. I mean, anything's possible. But it's kind of ridiculous where people go because it just can't possibly be this way. That's insane. So let me make up my own story. But anyway, it could be that, you know, they just have a lot of injuries and they don't have enough healthy players to play or even to compete. And it would be a travesty and a joke if they did. I guess. I don't know. But you have to ask the source. Coming up, we're going to preview the NFL playoffs.
Son of a...
Batteries are on sale now at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Don't wait till it won't start. Stop by today for a free battery test. We always install batteries for free, but right now, AC Delco batteries are on sale $20 off. If you do need a jump, we're happy to help you with that too. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or online at KeeverBrothers.com.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Dusty and I are going to preview the NFL playoffs right now. He can preview it a little bit more tomorrow, as I'll be in Colby. But I want to talk Chiefs at Bills and the injury report for the game, which will be 4 o'clock pregame, kickoff 5:30 from Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs playing on the road in the playoffs for the first time officially, although they did play at Tampa in the Super Bowl against Tampa, which to me was a road game, but whatever. Injury report, Derek Nnadi doesn't look too good that he's going to play, but they do have some depth there. Sky Moore, they open up a 21-day window for him maybe to be able to come back later in the postseason. Kadarius Toney, a limited participant. Most Chiefs fans are rejoicing about that. Justin Ross, hamstring limited participant. Don't matter. Those two aren't going to be a big part of this at all. Legarius Sneed, cautious. You know, just being proactive here, keeping him to a limited practice with a calf injury. Nick Bolton with his wrist, full participant. Ronya Morris is back, full participant. So if something happened to Donovan Smith, you've got more depth in the offensive line. Hamstring for Charles Omenihu, looks like he's okay. Hamstring Rashee Rice, looks like he's all good, full participant. MVS has a oblique injury. Donovan Smith, a neck injury. They were full participants. The Chiefs are healthier than the Bills are. The Bills, Gabe Davis, a knee, did not play in the last playoff game. He did not practice, hasn't practiced this week. Micah Hyde back with a neck injury, full participant, so that's good news there for the Bills. Von Miller not practicing due to rest, but he has not had a very good year. A calf injury for safety Taylor Rapp, who's an important player in their defense in the secondary. Gabe Davis is the one that stands out because he has torched the Chiefs in playoff games before. So it is the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. Some things to keep an eye on. We know the flaws and the problems for the Chiefs, and that is dropping passes, untimely penalties, turnovers. Buffalo has issues too, though. This is the thing. When you all get caught up in your team, you know your team's problems. And they stand out like a sore thumb because that's the team you live and die with. So you focus on what? Most people in this country focus on the negative above the positive. So even though the Chiefs have lots of outstanding strengths, including their defense, their quarterback, their coach, their running back, their tight end, their number one receiver. I mean, I just gave you a pretty good list of good things about the Chiefs. And experience and so forth and so on. People focus on the negatives, but yet Chiefs fans don't focus on the Bills and what they don't do well. Why is that? Because apparently the Bills are unbelievably, incredibly good and never lose a game. They had the same record as the Chiefs did this year. And if Kadarius Toney doesn't line up offsides, the Chiefs beat the Bills when the Chiefs didn't have Isaiah Pacheco, Drew Tranquil, and Nick Bolton was first game back. Okay? Now, I know the Bills are missing some players, too. Don't get me wrong. But the Bills scored a total of 6 points in the second half last time they played. Now, the Chiefs gave out a couple early touchdowns, but then started to figure things out. And then the Chiefs offensively struggled in the red zone, which has been a problem as well. And the Bills are not, they're defensively, the Bills are not amazing or unbelievable. They're not. Their defense is not awesome. It's not great. Here's some of the negatives with the Bills. They turn the ball over like the Chiefs do. Josh Allen turns it over for every time he scores a touchdown. It is a feast and famine. He is like Brett Favre. He really is. He's got one game where he throws four touchdowns and maybe has a fumble and looks great and throws for 350. And the next game is going to throw three interceptions, two touchdown passes, going to fumble running the ball, but he's going to also have a 40-yard run. It's just like, dear Lord, which one is it going to be? It's a mix of everything with Josh Allen. He's an amazing talent, and he is scary to go up against. No question about it. The Bills also don't put teams away. The Bills have played to the competition. They should have destroyed Pittsburgh, and it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter against a third-string quarterback at home. They barely beat the Patriots at home recently. The Chargers, who had nothing to play for, barely beat them recently. So why are the Bills this insurmountable object for the Chiefs to overcome when the Bills have never beat the Chiefs in the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? They're 0-2. Okay, it's because the game's in Buffalo, they're automatically going to win. Ooh, the cold weather. Oh, gee, 26 degrees looks like a horrible situation compared to -8, which the Chiefs just went through. Okay, oh, snow? Hey, we got to play in snow? Who cares? Mahomes played in snow before, which doesn't look like it's going to snow on game day. So the Bills also have some issues they just had in the playoff game. They had a field goal blocked, and they had a 27-yard field goal missed by their kicker. Now, who has a better kicker? There's another strength.
For sure, yeah.
The Chiefs have a guy that's barely missed anything this year. Now, Buffalo, different conditions, could be a little bit different. But the Chiefs have just as many strengths as the Bills do. This is what cracks me up. People act like the Bills are 15-2 in the number one seed. They are Kadarius Toney offsides penalty from not even being in the playoffs. They had to beat Miami and got a punt return to save their bacon. Or they lose that, they would have been the 7 seed. So they are not insanely great. And I think this is interesting. Nick Wright, if you know him on TV, he used to be at KC Radio. He's a big Chiefs fan. He pushes that quite a bit. It's kind of a bit. It is kind of a bit. But he has a point here. He says, the Bills exist in a world where their 11-6 season and division championship is something to be feared, while their opponents, the Chiefs, who also went 11-6 and also won their division, is a bit of a failure. Yeah. That is how people look at it. They look at the Chiefs as, well, they're just not as good. I would argue the Bills, I know record-wise, are not as good as last year either. The Bills were better probably a few years ago when they blew it or didn't blow it. You know, bad defensive strategy when the Chiefs went down, got a field goal with 13 seconds to go, and eventually won the game in overtime. So I'll say it again for the last time, clearly, and then Monday we come on the show and the Bills destroy the Chiefs, and we can say, okay, yeah, that's what we were scared of. We told you. But the Chiefs aren't a team that are going to get blown out. They never get blown out by with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, except for missing a left and a right tackle in the Super Bowl. They don't get blown out, okay? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. And their defense is so good that they shouldn't give up 30 or 40 points. Do I think the Bills' offense is better than the Chiefs? I do. I think the Bills' offense is slightly better. Slightly. If Gabe Davis is out, what's their biggest their biggest guy, Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Well, the Chiefs have Rashee Rice. The Chiefs have Travis Kelce. That's better than any tight end the Bills have. The Chiefs have Pacheco. The Bills have Cook. That's comparable. Offensive line of the Bills, solid, not great. Quarterback, pretty even, right? Some people may take Josh Allen head-to-head in this situation. I would say you could even call it a wash, slight league of Mahomes, whatever the case may be. Coaching, I would give the Chiefs a slight edge. Defense, I definitely give the Chiefs edge. Special teams, I give the Chiefs edge. Why in the hell are we sitting here thinking the Chiefs can't win this game? Because that's what some people believe.
Yeah, I definitely don't believe that.
Listen, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think all the pressure in the world are on the Bills. The Chiefs are going to play a little bit looser, believe it or not, in this situation, because the Chiefs are playing with a chip on their shoulder. It's because of what Nick Wright just said. The Bills are being exalted as they're the team. They're on a hot streak. Nobody wants to see the Bills. Everybody's scared of the Bills. You better not let the Bills into the playoffs because they're going to make a run. Better not let them get home field advantage. Oh my God, the Chiefs got to play a game outside of Arrowhead. You know, they do that during the regular season all the time. And they've won a lot of games with Mahomes on the road against very good teams, by the way, if you didn't notice. I will say their road schedule this year, the Chiefs have won more games on the road than at Arrowhead, but their road schedule wasn't as tough as their home schedule. That is granted, should be pointed out. I think the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs win, and I think they win 24-21.
Yeah, this is the same thing that I said at the beginning of the playoffs, right? Like, I'm not scared of Buffalo. I don't think anybody should be scared of Buffalo. I don't think anybody should be scared of any team that's in the postseason right now against the Chiefs, because they can compete with every single one of them because they have a defense, right? Like, yes. There's nothing that tells me, oh, I need to be scared. But what I can do is look at games in the past and see what's happened and see that, you know, you make a mistake here and you don't win this game, or you make a mistake there, the other team makes a mistake here and you do win that game. And so we have a head-to-head matchup. There was a mistake that was made, obviously. Buffalo still beat the Chiefs, you know, and so they won that game, right? And so we do have an example of Buffalo beating the Chiefs this year. So that doesn't make you scared of Buffalo, because you clearly know if that mistake doesn't happen, you can probably go down and at least tie that game, maybe win that game. Well, I mean, if the mistake doesn't happen, you have the lead, and you'll probably hold on with your defense and actually get the win.
Isaiah Pacheco did not play in that game.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a lot of things that you can look at in these games and understand those things. Now, also, it's not going to be the same game. It's going to be a different game, no matter what. So Buffalo might come out and play and be firing on all cylinders. The Chiefs defense might not show up like they have all year. There's been a couple games where, you know, a mistake here on defense might have fixed something else throughout the game too. So mostly it's been the offense making mistakes, though. So I'm back and forth on this. I think it's going to be a very close game. Gut feeling says the Bills are going to win. That's a gut feeling. I don't have, like, I think either one of these teams is good enough to make the plays to win this game. And in the end, I'm going to pick the Bills, same score as you have, but the Bills winning.
I just think the Bills have to put all the eggs in the basket. This is their Super Bowl. I really do believe if the Bills do beat the Chiefs, I think the Bills lose the next round to the Ravens. But because I think the Ravens will beat the Texans, although I wouldn't be surprised with anything. But this is the game the Bills have been waiting for.
Sure.
Think about it last year. They thought they were going to have it last year, and then they got bounced early. And of course, part of that was they lost in the division round because DeMar Hamlin situation, yeah. The Bengal-Bills game then didn't end up getting played and actually helped the Chiefs get the higher seed so they could host the Bengals in the AFC title game. The Bills were on track to be the number one overall seed and perhaps have home field all the way through. Mm-hmm. So now a year later, they finally get the game at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is their opportunity. And if they don't do it now, when will they do it?
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't do it now, when will they do it? And that's what all the media in Buffalo and the national media are saying as well. All the pressure in the world is on the Buffalo Bills. And sometimes you want something so bad, you press. You want something so bad, you make mistakes. And I think the Chiefs are going to be the looser team going into this one. I think they know that they're the underdog. They understand. I love when teams have chips on their shoulder. That's why I like the Lions a lot right now. I love when teams have chips on their shoulder. And I think the Chiefs, there's no doubt about this, they rarely are an underdog in any game they ever play. They're rarely an underdog in the playoffs anytime they play. This is a new role. And Patrick Mahomes was asked recently by Nate Burleson on an interview about what would you rather do, be the hero or the villain? He said, you know, I kind of prefer to be the villain on the road than the hero at home. here's your opportunity, baby.
Yeah, for
here's
sure.
the ultimate opportunity. Yep. Big time, tough place to play in Buffalo. But Buffalo, they just the Bills play to the level of their competition. I think the Chiefs do too. And the other thing too is, you know, you keep mentioning these mistakes that the Chiefs make, and you're absolutely correct. You're 1,000% correct. They've made mistakes. They make mistakes, and one mistake. The Bills make as many mistakes as the Chiefs do.
Sure.
Like, Chiefs fans sit here and they don't watch every Bills game. The Bills turn the ball over more than the Chiefs do. The Bills make just as many mistakes. They're flawed as much as the Chiefs are. So don't sit here and think about, oh, dear God, we got to go to Buffalo. It's still a 100-yard football field, and the Chiefs' defense is absolutely legitimate, and that will keep you in every game. So if that happens, it comes down to the fourth quarter, it's Mahomes versus Allen, and the Chiefs have the better defense, why the hell wouldn't you pick Mahomes? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm taking Mahomes. We shall see. I can see any scenario. I don't see a blowout, that's for sure. I think it's going to be super tight like it always is between these two teams. And it's going to be nail-biting time, and us Chiefs fans are going to stress out and have to go see the doctor after this game. But I'm picking Chiefs. All right, the other one, other games, Texans at Ravens. You know, all the pressure in the world's on the Ravens, right? But I do think that C.J. Stroud will make a mistake or two in this game. They get Mark Andrews back. They're tied in for the Ravens. That's huge. I think the Ravens do win this game. But I do think it'll be a really tight one. And if it's in the fourth quarter and it's tight, pressure's all over the Ravens, and the Texans are the ones that are going to be loose as a goose with house money, and then I'd be concerned. I think the Ravens, it's important for them to have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's you're going to feel way better about picking the Ravens if they do have that lead going into the fourth quarter. I'm going to pick the Ravens, too. Close game.
Okay. Last week, by the way, I was 4-2 in my picks, and Dusty, I believe, was 5-1. So, not bad. Packers at the Niners. Everybody's going to take the Niners. I will take the Niners. I will say I think this will be closer than people think as well. I think the Packers will cover the 10-point spread. I got Niners.
Yeah, 49ers for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I say the Packers will cover too.
Bucks Lions. I don't know what the spread is on this one, but the Bucks are at the Lions. You know, Baker, I saw some bulletin board material thrown out there by the Lions in one of their corners, and I don't know if that's wise. And the Lions are feeling great about things. Everybody loves them, right? Because they just won. Lions play with a chip on their shoulder. Well, guess who also plays on a chip on their shoulder? Mr. Baker Mayfield, who's been very good in the playoffs in his career, believe it or not. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. I'm going to slide with the home team on this one. So I'm taking the home team in every game so far. Actually, we already picked the Bills-Chiefs game. So I've got the only road team winning is the Chiefs. I'll be willing to bet you there's two road teams that win, though. But I'm not brave enough to pick it. So I think the Buccaneers are, of all the road teams that win, you know, I think the Chiefs have the best chance of anybody. But the next best chance, I think, might be the Buccaneers. So I'm going to go Buccaneers at Lions. I'm still going to take the Lions. So I'm going to have three home teams moving on. What you got?
Even though I would actually probably agree with you in the circumstance that you said the Chiefs have the best chance to win and I'm not picking them to win, I am picking the Buccaneers to win this game. And I know they looked really good against a team that was going in the wrong direction, right, obviously. I just feel like Detroit celebrated a little too hard.
Yeah.
And they got that playoff win for the first time in 30-some years, and it's just like,
you relax.
You still got to go. Yeah. You still got games, and I think they celebrated too hard. Like, their fans, the players probably didn't. The coach definitely didn't.
Right.
But I don't know. I just feel weird about this game.
Texans at Ravens, 3:30 on Saturday afternoon on ESPN ABC. Dustin and I both taking the Ravens, like most people will. Packers at the Niners, 7 o'clock, primetime Saturday night on Fox. We're both taking the Niners, like most people will. Buccaneers at the Lions, 2 o'clock on Sunday on NBC. I'm taking Lions, Dusty's taking Bucks, but I can see what Dusty's saying. And then Chiefs at Bills, Dusty's taking the Bills. I'm taking the Chiefs, and that is 5:30 kickoff, 4 o'clock pregame on Z96.3 The Lake.